Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Put them together. It's a Monday on B&E. It's Longhorns back-to-back Mondays trying to pick up the pieces and figure out what went wrong. Good for three quarters, terrible in the fourth. Stop us if you've heard that verse before. Longhorns are 4-3 at their bye week. We'll get back into it. Hear from Steve Sarkisian. We will not hear from Coach Sark today. This is a Monday, typically the game week news conference, but there is no game this week, so no, to my knowledge, an 11 o'clock news conference today. That'll be next Monday in preparation of the Baylor game. So no 11 o'clock news conference today if you're used to that as part of your Monday. Not going to be today, even though Longhorn fans, I think, would like to hear some more from the head coach on what the plan is to rectify the fourth quarter and the second half issues moving forward. We also get into these Cowboys with a overtime survival game in which it felt like they were dominating the football game, but the scoreboard indicated otherwise. We'll get back into that one. The NFL week, the Major League Baseball is good. And, Buck, you had a scary Friday night into Saturday morning.
More than ever.
I know you are thankful for some folks, and certainly we're thankful that you are here this morning.
Well, I'm very thankful to the folks over at Lake Travis High School and the EMS and the training folks over there and the trainers. That I had a little episode after the game was over, coming down the steps. I was good. And then I got to the walkway there, and I just started to see my vision got blurred and started to lose a little strength in my legs, grabbed a hold of a fence, and then grabbed a hold of Mark Honig and told him if I took one more step, I was going to go down. There's just no way. And thank God, he said, okay, let's go sit on the bench, sat me on the bench. And then the trainers came over, brought me inside, and did all the right things for me. EMS came in, and of course, they were ready to slap me in the hospital, which the hospital was about a mile away. And Mark Hung and I both looked at each other and said, no, we probably don't want to do that because that's an expensive ride. I think I can just put you in a car and we can get over there. So Honig and I are either very cheap or very smart. I'm going to say smart in a way. Now, I wouldn't suggest doing that if you have a real live emergency, and which I did. I had a little episode that things went blurry on me. I couldn't get focused. It's been, you know, since we went to Fort Hood, it's been on the go that week, straight up to Dallas, from Dallas back here. You know, we get up early in the morning, you know, whether it's hydration or some other things. And, you know, I'd had an episode when I was 29 years old, but that wasn't an episode. That was a straight up stroke. So this was an episode that felt very similar to that. And I said, so I knew all the signs, E, which was good. I could tell everybody what was going on, what exactly the way I felt. You know, my vision and everything else, and having to take one eye in order to see just single things. Because if I'd open up both eyes, I was seeing three and four people. But we got over to the hospital.
And that just started as you came down the bleachers?
Well, it started after I got down and started to just get to even ground. That's when it all just started out. And it was not fun. So I spent the night in, Baylor, Scott and White.
Lakeway?
In Lakeway, which those folks did a wonderful job. And you know, got some... Got an MRI yesterday or the day before. Saturday afternoon, I had an MRI and they released me. But, I mean, if you don't know what to do, a lot of people, they don't know these things. But when I was able to give them some of the things that were going on, it was very similar to what happened to me when it was 30-some years ago. So they knew exactly what to do. And Mark was there, and Mark and the trainers there, you know, they didn't lay me down. They kept me upright, you know, and... Dude, if I'd have got to my car and tried to drive my car, I would have driven into about 50 people probably, or I would have made it out of the parking lot. There was no way because I couldn't take another step, much less drive a car.
So much to be thankful for. I mean, obviously.
Oh, my goodness. Scary. And it's
scary. Sounds
like you're
on your way to having another stroke potentially, right? I mean, that's blockage and
yes,
you know, blood not getting to your brain properly or whatever that becomes.
But I did find out in that MRI, I do have a brain.
Yes.
So I found that out on Saturday.
Yeah. But yes, that's a long day for you. I mean, you're in here, gosh, I get here every morning before 5 o'clock, and you've been here for, I don't know how long. You're always here before me. And then you go all day, and then you did the high school football game on Friday night. I mean, this episode you're talking about happened after midnight.
After the game, yeah.
I mean, after midnight, after the post game's over.
So the entire time I was telling them, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I want to sleep, but they don't want you laying down going to sleep. They have some tests that they want to do, and they take a lot of blood. I got a lot of poking going on. I got poked in the stomach. I took a needle to the stomach.
We're going to send you home at 9 o'clock this morning. But I was get your rest.
But I was, you know, dehydration is one of the things that, you know, I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, and I still drink a lot of water. But you gotta hydrate yourself. Even when it's not 100 degrees or 90 degrees, you really have to keep that fluid in you. And I was on one of those IVs, you know, for a day and a half, just the old drip, drip, drip. The tough part is peeing in that plastic thing, you know? I wanted to get up and walk to the bathroom, and that's one of my main things is, let me get up, let me see. I mean, I could stand up, but, you know, they have to make sure that you can walk over and hold yourself up when you're even peeing. And so they always suggest pee in this little plastic container, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, I like to have one of those bottles for long drives maybe. But when you want to go, when they're putting a drip in you all night long, you got to go. So
yeah,
I came out on the good side, and there's some stuff that I have to do and, you know, take and some medication. So, and for folks that are having those kind of episodes, make sure you're able to communicate the right things to the right people. And Mark Honing, if he wasn't there, they would have picked me up off the sidewalk because I wasn't going another two steps before I would have just gone straight down. And I'm glad it didn't happen as I was coming down the bleachers.
Yeah, tumble down the bleachers would have been horrible.
Oh, those
so many
things.
Horrible things could have happened.
Sure.
And, so glad that.
But there are a lot of smart people in at the hospital, a lot of smart people in that training facility that did some really good things for you, and I appreciate it, believe me. Heard from Coach Carter the next morning, bright and early the next morning, if I was okay, and heard from a lot of folks because I was on my way. You know, I was trying to find out, how am I going to get over here to do the 7 o'clock pregame show? That was the first thing in my mind. How am I going to get over here and do this?
Well, that's kind of how your brain works. Keep going. But that's where you need to take a pause and take some time. You're going to be out a couple days, maybe at least Wednesday this week, to get some tests, which you need to get. But I appreciate you being here because you wanted to get here and talk some football.
Absolutely.
And be active and be up. But yes, I mean, that's one of those learning opportunities that if you do have those feelings, don't ignore them. Don't walk through them.
No, please don't.
And for you, Buck, it's just, you know, the right people at the right place. The fact that you're at a high school football game with an EMT right there,
yes,
they're there for the game itself,
right,
for precaution. That's
and trainers that understand things like that. You know, guys with concussions and passing out.
Sure. Well, so glad you're okay and are here, and we'll get you back on your feet and send you home early this morning, I think.
But I do suggest this: don't ever think financially that your life is not worth a couple thousand bucks. And for me, you know, when they wanted to do that, I was thinking, you know, I think ambulance services are private, so they can charge you what you think is an arm and a leg, but it's better to have that, to be charged that, than to have somebody make a mistake where you should be in an EMS and an ambulance, and you say, no, I don't want to do that. I did it, but it was a mile away. It was less than a mile away to the hospital.
Well, and you had already seen professional medical
people. I did,
people.
And I knew how I felt. At that time, I still knew how I felt.
Yeah, but if you don't know, you don't.
No.
And you would have been unwise if you to drive your own car over there.
When I was damaged, and, you know,
no,
if I'd have got to my car and, you know, I had my keys in hand, there's no telling what you know.
From here on out, you need to listen to the doctors and do what they
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
They do what they say. But you're here this morning, and we appreciate it, and we'll get through it. But, gosh, blessings and thoughts to everybody on that.
And they did a great job over there. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We do, absolutely. All right, let's get to the headlines, the trending topics. Obviously, it starts with the Longhorns. We got the Cowboys. Let's get to it. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And, yes, we'll get to the Cowboys' thrilling overtime win and another walk-off win in the NLCS. But first, Longhorn football 2021 season officially on the ropes now for first-year head coach Steve Sarkisian. And the Horns, they head into their bye week. Texas has shown signs of being a contender in the Big 12. But after back-to-back miserable fourth-quarter performances and losses to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Longhorns have fallen to 4-3 on the year, 2-2 in the Big 12. Heading into the fourth quarter of the game with Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, Texas was up 41-30 and up 11. They folded. Texas outscored 25-7 at the Cotton Bowl, lose 55-48. This past Saturday, they were up 24-16, headed to the fourth, held Oklahoma State to just over 200 yards total, had not allowed an offensive touchdown in the final, but in the final 15 minutes, they again folded. Cowboys outscored Texas 16-0. Outgained Texas 171-1 and get the win 32-24. Coach Sark searching for answers. We'll hear from him coming up. Texas off this week. They'll travel to Waco a week from Saturday to face now 6-1 Baylor. Bears have now cracked the AP top 25 at number 20 after their impressive win over BYU Saturday in Waco. They also have a bye this week. Another shakeup at the top of the AP top 25 with Cincinnati now up to number 2 in the poll behind number 1 Georgia. It's the first time a team from outside the traditional power conferences has been ranked that high since 2010. That was TCU back in 2010. Also, of course, Iowa had been number 2. They drop out after a loss at Purdue. Undefeated Oklahoma is up to 3. One loss Alabama and one loss Ohio State at 4-5 ahead of several undefeated teams, including Michigan and Michigan State and Oklahoma State. Big news from Baton Rouge this morning. Official word now that Ed Orgeron is out as LSU's head coach, and he will be out at the end of this season. Orgeron will finish out the season for the Tigers, but a pretty stunning fall for the 60-year-old who led LSU to the national championship just 21 months ago. To now to the NFL, and what a game in New England yesterday. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys escaped Foxborough with a thrilling 35-29 win in overtime. Cowboys led 17-14 entering the fourth quarter. That's when the fun began. Both teams combined to trade 5 scores in the final 15 minutes and included 3 in the last 2.5. Last of which was a 49-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein to send it to overtime. In the OT, on their first possession, Cowboys get a stop defensively, so now they only need a field goal to win it. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys ended it with an exclamation point.
Play fake. Boot to the right. Looking down the field. Lamb! 10-5! Victory! Cowboys win! The Ghosts are exorcised!
Yeah, that was the Cowboys' first win in New England since 1987, what Brad Sham was alluding to there with the Ghosts. Cowboys now 5-1 on the year. Dak finishes the day with 445 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. But on that game-winning play, Prescott did land awkwardly on his leg, suffered some sort of calf injury, the extent of which is uncertain, left the stadium in a boot. Dallas does have a bye week this week, so good timing there. Also in the NFL yesterday, Texans get drubbed in Indy, 31-3. They're 1-5. Arizona remains the only unbeaten team in the NFL. They improved to 6-0 with an impressive win in Cleveland. Get to all the NFL throughout the course of the morning. Baseball last night, Atlanta Braves have taken a 2-0 lead in the National League Championship Series. Second straight walk-off win for the Braves. They did it on Saturday night. Last night, Eddie Rosario, RBI single in the ninth to win it for the Bravos. ALCS knotted at 1 game each, Houston and Boston. Game 3 tonight at Fenway Park. Jose Urquidy facing the left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
You know, yeah, I was really surprised that I didn't think Mike Gundy would stick to his Gundies late. I thought he would start trying to pass the ball and get away from the run. But when that fourth quarter came and they saddled that kid Warren up, it was like, guys, you know what they're going to do, right? Why are you playing two high safeties down near the goal line? They're not trying to throw on you. They're coming at you. You guys need to get up and face these wide receivers. They didn't have great wide receivers, did they? Not? I mean,
no.
They didn't have anybody that was, this is going to go right, really kind of by you, did they?
No.
I know there was a pass interference by Thompson, I think, down on the sideline, which, once again, he just drugged the guy down. He felt like he was going to get beat, so you might as well go ahead and interfere. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and take that penalty instead of having a guy go zooming by you. So I wasn't so down on that, except for, once again, there's a DB who's out of position. But when they started to saddle up that running back, I don't know why you're back so far. You need to go ahead and press that line of scrimmage.
Well, there was one play in particular late in the fourth quarter when, you know, Oklahoma State had already taken the lead and you needed a stop, that they were playing two high safeties and
right.
You should have been crashing
yeah.
the line. And that was unacceptable. I mean, by the way, informed by Craig Way that there will be a Steve Sarkisian game week news conference today at 11 o'clock. That's atypical of previous coaches. When they don't have a game, they don't have a Monday news
right.
conference. Sark will break that trend. There will be a news conference today at 11 o'clock to hear from the coach, and we'll hear more from Sark coming up. No, I mean, it's almost like there was a game, and then there was the fourth quarter. And it feels like that's been the case for 2 straight weeks. Maybe I'm minimizing the whole game, but I've watched a team back-to-back weekends live that looked pretty damn good for 3 quarters or 2.5 in,
right.
into the third. I mean, when you consider that Oklahoma's number 3 in the country and Oklahoma State's number 8 in the country, so 2 top 10 teams, for 3 quarters you're playing them off their feet. You're beating them, controlling the game, up double digits in both. And then this is where, is it coach? Is it scheme? Is it mentality? Is it, you know, the lack of toughness?
Well, it has to be the coach now because we know they don't have the mentality.
Well, and that becomes, so if you go back to Coach Steve Sarkisian after the first, the Oklahoma game, he more attributed it to some fluky stuff, some 50-50 balls, and, you know, just kind of off a rivalry game plays where we lost the momentum and couldn't get it back and those kind of things. I think this was the week where I watched Sark in the postgame, and you could see genuine, what the hell's going on here? Like, like, how does this, like, we were in total control of this football game.
Yeah, are my players good enough? And what I mean, for the long, for the like long the, haul?
Like, almost like there's a real problem here. This is...
Well, yeah, I think you and I have been seeing that real problem for a couple of years.
Right, well, that's right. This is new to him, right? He hasn't been through the previous years and the previous years. I mean, this is all new for a coach and a coaching staff trying to figure out how do we look this solid for that long and then just completely disintegrate. How's that possible? Doing things that we did very, very well and at a high level for three quarters, and all of a sudden we can't execute basic remedial plays as a team. And then, because I came in Monday of last week saying that the defense was the biggest issue. This week the offense was the biggest issue in my mind, because I thought the defense, and I'm going through my notes of the game throughout, the defense played a pretty good football game up until the fourth quarter. I thought they just wore down, lost both starting linebackers to injury. And that's when they saddled up Jaylen Warren and just started running the football right at Texas. It's still unacceptable that you can't stop that.
Right, because you know it's coming.
But at least it's that.
Or at least you should know it's coming.
To me, the reason's based on the offense going four straight three and outs, not moving the ball at all, and putting that unit with injuries at linebacker right back on the field and right back on the field and right back on the field. Eventually, because they're not a great defense to begin with. Let's start with that.
Right.
But I thought they played a pretty tough brand of football for three quarters and gave Texas a chance. If you don't give up an offensive touchdown for three quarters of a football game and give up just over 200 yards total offense, you're playing a pretty good football game on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and why do you look so fatigued on a day when it's a beautiful day to play football, but you play like it was 110 degrees in the fourth quarter? Why do they look fresh and you don't?
Look, I criticize Sark because I think he has to now realize that in fourth quarters or when these things happen,
he has to win the game.
Yeah.
He's got to come up with something scheme-wise.
And he has to give credit to his opponent.
Yes.
His opponent's going to adjust to him. His opponent's going to take away what had been working. That's what they do over on that other sidelines.
Right, absolutely.
When you're having success doing X, they're going to try to take away X. You have to pivot to Y and Z. And I don't see him doing that. But then you hear, can we hear Sark's explanation about this? I mean, he feels like when they're struggling, he needs to get back to some basic things, like things we know we can do this.
And the other team knows you can do it too.
Right, and that's so you're playing right into there. But he's trying to figure out, well, guys, what is going on here? We're off sides again. We're holding and grabbing and not doing basic. We're doing this again. Why is that happening? Here is Sark on what to tell the team after blowing leads two straight weeks.
Yeah, I think one is you have to address it head on. I don't think that we can act as if nothing is an issue there. Clearly, it's like anything. If we weren't playing a certain coverage right, we would address it. We would try to fix it. That's our issue. So we have to address it. We have to do the things necessary to work on it. You have to put in the time to do it. I don't think it's about talk. I think we have to work on specific things to address it so that when those situations come up again, we don't get stuck in that low and that we get ourselves back into a really clear state of mind with confidence and belief in executing what we're capable of doing.
I don't know how you practice mental toughness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This isn't the service. I mean, those guys rep their mental toughness over and over and over again. There's so many different things in football that you're going to have to do. You can't rep just the mental toughness. But that seems to be the thing that just – because as much as I don't want to say they've got the type of players to do it, I look at them compared to other groups. I don't see it. Because if a linebacker goes down, this group, as you said, the defense takes a huge drop. They don't just drop off. They drop off a building.
Yeah,
one guy goes down.
DeMarvion Overshone's the Bijan Robinson of the defense, right? He's the best player on that side of the football.
Right, so if he just disappears,
and he got
the guy who steps in is
Jaylen Ford, who did an admirable job. But that's a big drop-off in experience and in talent. You know, they you know, Overshown got hurt late in the second quarter. I mean, he didn't play it. He was in street clothes by halftime.
Right.
So, and we'll maybe get an update on DeMarvion's injury coming up with Coach Sark at 11.
But they went out in the portal and looked at four guys. I mean, you tell me nobody else can get in there and be
a part of that? Well, in that, they didn't bring in any inside linebackers. And we're talking about the inside backers who are there to patrol the run game. I mean, that's Brockermeyer and Overshown. Those are their two leading tacklers. The guys they brought in the portal are more edge players, right? Ogofu is off the edge.
Which Ray he did Thornton's a decent job.
Edge. Ben Davis is off the edge. They addressed the edge in the portal because they didn't have the personnel to play the defense PK wanted to. So that's where they hit it. And, you know, at inside linebacker, we went into the season knowing that was the thinnest position on the defense. And then both starting guys get hurt. And it was surprising that Brockermeyer won the job out of camp, but he's been pretty solid. But then, you know, for the whole fourth quarter, you're playing Jalen Ford and David Benda as your linebackers.
Guys who probably need more snaps during regular games, right. Not all of a sudden at crunch time get thrown into games.
Well, I know on Saturday at the pregame show, and I know you were not there, but I asked Rod Babers, you know, how do you rep this? And his reaction from a player side was, well, this has got to come from the players. I mean, the players have to get sick of losing. I mean, the players have to get sick of this happening. The coaches are coaching it, but it's sometimes, you know, number six has to catch a ball that's right in his hands in
right.
a big spot in the
game. That's the mental softness right there. You got to make that catch. These aren't hard catches.
Right. So, you know, so insert player here can't jump off sides in a critical
right.
moment when we can tell that the momentum is turning. Your quarterback can't make, you know, you just can't make these
some of the
plays.
Throws. You're right.
And the fact that it's happening over and over again tells you that it's a problem. It's a lack of team leadership. It's a lack of coaching leadership. Sark has to understand that, and this is why I say, you know, anything beyond, it's almost, this is inexcusable, these last two fourth quarters, but you have to, if you're the coach of this team, in my mind, you've got to take the positives of the three quarters and say, look, guys, we've beaten the daylights out of two top 10 teams for three quarters. What the heck is happening? Like, where is our leadership here? Where is this?
In his mind, he's going to have to do something.
I know.
The head coach is going to have to call something that's going to get somebody wide ass open. And then they're going to have to make the catch if they're wide ass open.
Yeah.
He's going to have to call up some plays because I know you want to go back to your basic stuff, but the guys on the other side, they get paid too. You know what I mean? Those coaches that coach defense at Oklahoma State, they get paid too. They're not just there for the fun of it.
Well, and Mike Gundy's been getting paid 17 years.
Yes.
And Mike Gundy knows exactly who his team is and that they won't.
Absolutely.
They won't give in. They won't quit.
Right.
They'll find a way. And that's the fabric of that football team is they're not the most talented. What do they have, like four-star better players on their entire roster?
Right.
They play with toughness
and
grit and
last year,
and
Joseph Osai himself won that game.
Yes.
For Texas on defense.
Well, this fourth quarter was about who wanted it more. And especially Texas knew on their sidelines that we have to move the ball. We can't keep putting our injured defense back out
there. You're right.
Who gave us a chance for four quarters to go out and blow this game out, but we didn't. And now here we are. That's mentality. That's leadership.
Well, and it's opportunity, too. That, as I said, you know, guys like Joshua Moore, you got to come in that game. You were dependent on in the beginning of the season. Then you're not playing as much, and then you get a great opportunity. You got to take advantage of these opportunities. That's a part of being mentally tough. They're depending on me to make catches. They're not depending on me to drop two balls. I have to make those. I have to make them whether they're hard catches or not. I have to make the catch.
Well, we'll pick this up on the other side, but I would just say I've been to six of the seven games live. And I've seen a team that would look dreadful for four quarters against Arkansas improve. They got better. They really did. I mean, the fact that they outplayed Oklahoma and Oklahoma State for three quarters tells you that there's improvement happening. The next step is, this is where Sark and this staff are going to earn their big paychecks. What changes this week to ensure that it doesn't happen again? What happens this week?
It's not going to change
game?
With the teams that they're going to play. They're going to try to attack you and see mentally and physically
no
if you're
doubt.
Ready.
Well,
for four quarters.
That's going to be the message from every opponent they play
absolutely.
The next five. Hey,
yeah.
Keep playing. They'll quit.
Yes, absolutely.
And the coach will continue to run the same plays and won't adjust on both sides. Those are the things that have to change because, you know, Baylor is number 20 now, 6-1. They just played a tough physical game with BYU and won that comfortably. So, I mean, this is the challenge of this staff now. You now know the problem. Can you coach around it enough?
Right.
And who are the leaders that are going to emerge on this team that are going to say, you know what, enough is enough. You know, we're pretty good.
As much as they depend on the quarterback offensively and Bijan, the other guys have to make some plays. They just do.
Yeah, it's can't be bipolar. You can't be. They're pretty dang good when they're good, and they're horrible when they're horrible. I mean, there's no in between.
Yeah, when things start going bad for this team, they don't rise to the occasion. They just go ahead and tumble with the bad stuff.
Right, and that's the long and the short of it. When they're
they've been doing that for years now.
When they're playing well, I haven't seen them play this well when they're playing well.
No, not like this.
So the highs are pretty good. The highs, yeah. Their high looks like a top 10 team.
Right.
The lows look like the 100th ranked team in the country. How is that possible?
They look like 106.
Yeah, that's the chasm they got to figure out because, you know, something's got to give. We'll pick it up. We'll have Craig Way with the Craig Way Report coming up. More from Coach Sark as well, plus the, salacious gossip and the blitz might be vicious this morning. We'll get that coming up for the end of this hour.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate everybody weighing in on the Show of the People on the Specs text line. It says, guys, this team has Herman's mentality. Sark needs his own players. I was thinking about this. Is it too simple to say that, you know, this team, you know, Tom Herman came in and tried to teach and preach mentality and toughness, and that was maybe a mentally tougher team, but the schemes and the offense was pretty pedestrian. Feels like they got the scheme now and Bijan, and they can't finish football games. I don't know. They got to figure this out as they move forward. Also, Buck, we mentioned earlier 11 undefeated teams remaining in college football, including UTSA and SMU in our great state. Both are undefeated. Baylor's ranked now at 6-1. That's the Longhorns' next opponent. So there are some teams playing good.
It's kind of crazy when your coach is still trying to figure out his team.
Yep.
This far into the season, you know, you've had your spring, you've had your summer, but the coach is still trying to figure out what these kids are and who they are. By now he should know when the tough gets going, they don't know what to do. This is where they need to be coached. Right. They really have to, and a lot of it is themselves, like you said. It's not about, you know, the coach doesn't get to go out there and fill a hole. The coach gets to tell you where to be. You have to fill the hole, and you can't let the guy run you smooth over.
Right.
Because Mike Gundy knows what his team was. As you said, he wasn't going to start throwing the ball when he knew he could turn around, hand it off, and that offensive line was going to move those defensive linemen, which they did.
Well, and that's where I noted earlier that the pick six, I mean, if Texas goes up 24-3 there, Oklahoma State does have to abandon their run, and they do have to put that game in Spencer Sanders' hands, and that's what that pick six allowed. And as far as the flow of that game, to keep it within reach, because with the pick six now it's 17-10, and Oklahoma State still didn't score an offensive touchdown until the fourth quarter, but that allowed them to stay within their identity. If Texas goes up 21 points there, this game gets into Spencer Sanders' hands. Who knows? I mean, he'd already thrown you one pick. It could have been more. That's the coulda, shoulda, wouldas of a football game. And
right.
That's a throw a quarterback cannot make in that situation. I'm still not sure what Casey was seeing there. I mean, they had dropped everybody, and all eyes were on him because they were playing a real passive zone right there, waiting for anything to come to him.
But did you give your team a chance with 17 straight plays of
– No.
It just – What were those plays?
Well, let me say this way for Sark, right? If I'm going to put myself in his shoes, and he's learning his team, right? It was a disaster, four quarters of terrible football at Arkansas after a pretty solid first game, right? So solid first game, horrible at Arkansas. Well, the response to that was back-to-back destructions of Rice and Texas Tech, right?
Right.
So as a coach, you're thinking, okay, we're making progress. We're getting better. Then they go to TCU, first big road test since Arkansas. You know, they got off to a bad start, but really dominated the game in the second and third quarter. Fell apart a little bit in the fourth quarter, but actually rallied to win the game when it mattered most and made critical plays down the stretch. Okay, good. Progress. Oklahoma game. All right, well, gosh, we're blowing the Oklahoma Sooners off the field here. 28-7 in the first quarter. It's 41-23 with 17 minutes to play. As a coach and a staff, you have to feel pretty good about where you are. And then, of course, we know what happened. Collapse. You know, Caleb Williams comes in, who's now is taking over as the starting quarterback at Oklahoma after what we saw him do this week against TCU. And so, I mean, again, that's why I say Sark afterwards was kind of like, yeah, we lost the momentum. They made some big plays. We let it get away. But I think now after this game, you realize as a coach going into your bye week, these guys are mentally soft. These guys, we don't have leadership when it matters most. My play calling gets stale. I mean, you because now you've looked at it and said, that wasn't just a fluky game against Oklahoma. We got a real problem here. We've got a real problem with our locker room and with our leadership.
And with me.
And I'm still trying to build whatever culture I'm trying to build. If I'm trying to build a culture of toughness, it's not working right now. You got to keep continue to work at it. But you also have to build a culture of really talented players. And I don't know how talented they are.
Well, I think that shows up too. I think the lack of overall depth in the program hurts them in the fourth quarter.
Well, because I'm not going to buy that Oklahoma State had that much better skill players than Texas did. And so you got to call some plays that your skill guys are going to beat what I think is just good players. They're not great skill players over there, but they know what they are. They know if they continue to fight you and punch you,
yep.
What are you going to do?
They're built on toughness, and
yes.
We talked about it all last week. I mean, that's Mike Gundy has pivoted from a shootout kind of program
right.
to this. We went with our defense. We went with our running game. We want to shorten the game. And again, the pick six before the half, and then Texas going three and out four straight times in the third quarter after scoring.
And they stuffed your run in that fourth
right.
quarter.
I mean,
when you just kept running in the same plays, when you're trying to get back to your basics and what you all can do the right way, the group on the other side said, we know they're coming. Here's what we're going to do to that.
Yeah, they got it into their style of game, and
yeah.
Texas backed down to it. And look, I would also say this. I think most people that cover the team and follow the team closely know that Texas is pretty good at the top 22. Like top 22 on both
right,
sides.
Yes.
You start digging into the
absolutely
the next guys
yeah,
at all these positions, it's a real problem for
yeah,
them.
You can say next man up, but that next man, some of them aren't talented enough to do that, to sustain for a long period of time. They can come in for one or two plays, but they can't go quarters. And especially in the fourth quarter, when it really starts to count, that's when you guys start to wear down head-wise. You know what I mean? If they don't have success right away, a 6-yard run, the next run becomes an 8-yard run. The next one becomes a 15-yard run. That's the time to stuff them. They don't step up and stuff guys.
And then and basic plays that they were executing at a high level earlier
right.
in the game, all of a sudden they're failing. And there is that panic.
You know what it looks like? You're playing with a bunch of walk-ons.
Yes.
Guys that are practice team.
That's right. And you
players.
Go from a you know, buttoned-up, good-looking team for
right.
a good stretch of the game, and then you just collapse, and that's the challenge. And look, I would also point out from last year's team that went 7-3, you know, 6 of the 7 captains on that team are gone. Sam Ellinger was the
right.
ultimate leader on that team. Joseph Osai, those guys are gone. And I don't know that they've had the leadership step in and step up. So far.
You expected Jordan Whittington to be a leader, but he's not.
Went on the field. That was critical for them.
He's not on the field enough.
That's a big one. So who are the leaders and who steps in? Dirk Kerstadter is the only guy who was a captain a year ago who's still a captain. And then DeMarvion Overshown, who's emerged as one of the leaders of
right.
the team, he's off the field. He didn't play at all in the second half. So, yes, I think there was a lack of a lot of things. And then as you're just trying to, you know, sift through.
They just look like they try to survive a game.
Yeah, well, and
hope that the other team does something bad.
Well, Sark said that, right? We're waiting for them to make a mistake.
Right.
And guess what, guys? What happens if they don't make a mistake? This is the outcome we get what we deserve in that front. All right, coming back, we will pick up these college football conversations because they are aplenty, including the Caleb Williams performance for Oklahoma on Saturday night. This Spencer Rattler thing's over, right? Hey, he was really good in their victory. Also, Cincinnati up to number 2. Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. And should Alabama and Ohio State be ranked ahead of Michigan and Michigan State, even though those teams have taken a loss and they have not? That'll be a debate in college football this week. And the Dallas Cowboys, what a win. We'll continue to talk about it with you. First, though, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, let's hit it. Load up your blitz, 447-3776. We're all thankful Bucky's here this morning, my friend.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
And I'm going to be doing some dietary deals that I'm...
No more ice cream.
Oh.
And you've already given up the Bud Lights, and that's good. Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. Hope you had some. You probably did after the fourth quarter on Saturday. Had to have a few of that. But whatever your event was, the weather was phenomenal. We've got... great live music in Austin, Texas. Great sporting events. MLS, the Austin FC lost on Saturday night. Their 2-game win streak is over, but still a packed house and a lot of fun. And you know what's coming this week, Buck, with some ice cold Bud Lights. F1, the
and
ultimate
Billy
spectacle
Joel.
Of speed and sound and Bud Lights and fast cars.
And the Piano Man.
The Piano Man. And 21 Pilots, also a pretty good band out of Columbus, Ohio. They're going to play on Saturday night, I believe, is the schedule. We'll drill down and get you ready for F1 this weekend as well. Because how about this? Cowboys and Longhorns both off this weekend. Both off. So bye week for Texas, bye week for the Cowboys.
Ready for the Bears.
Yeah, Cowboys are getting ready for Baylor. But whatever you're doing, do it safe, be smart, always with the ice-cold Bud Lights, the world's favorite light beer. All right, controversy, Buck, controversy. At a couple places. So Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. Contract bought out. They did beat Florida.
They did. That's right.
49-42 in a crazy game.
That's one of the games I had us pick Florida.
But the word is that this buyout discussion began last week, and Saturday was a mere formality, win or lose, that this thing is over. You know, we played and had fun with Ed Orgeron talking about burying a guy in the bayou somewhere in a fishing hole.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't play well.
No.
Come on, man.
It's a pretty, it's not pretty. It is a stunning fall from the top for Ed Orgeron. At 60, at 58, he had won a national championship and had a top-end program. By 60, 21 months later, it's an average program, and he's out. And there were reports that the players didn't want to play for him. His coaches are sick of him. And here's a maybe part of the reason why. A report from someone named Matt Trent, who works for WBRZ Television in Baton Rouge, says, with regards to Orgeron's personal life, bleeding into his coaching life, sources tell us that there were multiple practices where girlfriends would be in attendance at practice and would interfere to the degree that their children of the women were taking part in drills with the team.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
Come on, man.
Like, hey, honey, can I bring my kids to practice? Oh, sure. Put them in the
inside drill. Let them tackle someone. Let them play linebacker.
So if you wonder why maybe the players were frowning upon the behavior, maybe the coaches were frowning upon his leadership, Ed Orgeron. It seems like he got to the top of the mountain and said, you know what? I'm getting divorced, and I'm going to live the life.
We'll find those 20-year-old blondes.
Now I'm getting $18 million as a buyout.
And I don't see Ed wanting to coach anymore after this.
Who do they hire? We'll see. The name Mel Tucker has immediately been named. He's at Michigan State. He was at LSU as a position coach under Nick Saban way back, and you know followed Kirby. Was at Kirby with Kirby Smart at Georgia before you know climbing the ladder as a head coach. So that's a name to listen for.
Brady,
Joe Brady. I like that one. He's the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, who led them to the championship with Joe Burrow a couple years ago. So we'll watch that. Also, big story at Knoxville, Tennessee. Lane Kiffin brought Ole Miss to Knoxville this weekend. 108,000 were there, and it was ugly. Remember, Lane Kiffin left Tennessee in an embarrassing fashion, you know, quit in the middle of the season, that whole thing, right? Well, that was his first trip back, and the fans in Tennessee were ready for it.
Were they?
Well, I mean, it was an ugly, ugly scene. I mean, they're throwing golf balls from the stands at Lane Kiffin on the sidelines. Like golf
somebody
balls.
Threw Frenchie's mustard. Frenchie's full bottle.
I saw the mustard. I mean, they just started pelting the sidelines. Now, and Tennessee won the game. So when they win this game in a close one, they storm the field. And word from the SEC is they're going to fine. Remember last week A&M got fined $100,000 for charging the field. The report is this is going to be a $1 million fine.
Didn't Ole Miss win the game? Tennessee. Ole Miss won.
Who won the game?
Tennessee.
Ole Miss won the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the word is they're going to be fined $1 million.
I can see that. You're throwing golf balls down. Are you kidding me?
$1 million. Is going to be the number. So we'll watch that. Don't storm the field.
And yo, they threw a water bottle right at his head, and he snagged it.
Oh, he did?
Incredible catch. Incredible. Of course, he's going to make light of that and joke about that all week.
No, leave that alone.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And they truly don't like him.
What's that?
They truly hate Lane Kiffin there.
Well, it was immature the way he left.
Right.
And abruptly and all of it. The press conference was embarrassing back then, but... No, you can't do that. And
no.
That's $1 million. I mean, I know that's a lot of money. So we'll keep an eye on that story. That was gossip from the weekend as well. And Ed Orgeron out at LSU. Who is in will become a question. We'll get to all of it. But first, look at the phone lines. They are lit. Let's hit it.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitz, are you up?
Hey, dumbass Aggie guy. What's going on with your dumbass Longhorns?
Wow. Thank you very much. Next Blitz, are you up?
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
It's okay if it shared the roof for the Bucks and the Cowboys. You said any dumbass Mets fans off the roof for the Red Sox here in New York.
Redskins?
No.
Oh.
The Yankees Washington football team. For New York? I don't know what he's talking
I don't
about.
Think so. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck, first things first. Glad you're all right.
Thank you.
Second, they better lock up Kellen Moore with the head coaching offer. Otherwise, he's gone next year.
And word is the Raiders. Raiders would be interested, but the Raiders look great with Rich Bisaccia.
Bisaccia did a good job.
They waylaid the Broncos yesterday.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Clearly didn't get the memo that Texas is playing for the Big 12 championship.
Oh, that hurt right there for sure.
They played three quarters, maybe.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Cause and effect. Bijan, first two drives, 10 touches, 2 touchdowns. Next three drives, 2 touches. You see what happens when you neglect them? The other team is establishing the run game, and you're neglecting the best running back in the game. What's the deal?
They're going to have to change some things for sure. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev Kearney. Yeah, hey, Sark, you're not the only one that's about to get busy on a bye.
Hey.
Oh, gosh. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
What's up?
Just wanted to say I'm praying for you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, man. Enough of them horns, bro. How about them Cardinals, baby?
Cardinals. Wow. Undefeated and ready to go.
6-0. Props to Jeff Rogers.
Great. That was a great job. Yeah.
Gets a coaching win there.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, they're still dumbass Aggies. Texas, they only need to remember the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo.
Go down fighting. Right.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey.
Yes.
This is Jimbo Fisher. We beat Alabama with 7 starting injuries and a bunch of freshmen. And y'all only had 3 people out. What the hell's the problem?
There is a little bit of a problem going on right now.
Year 4 versus year 1. I don't know. That could be an issue.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, no. We sucked again.
Back-to-back weeks. Next, Blitzer, talk to us.
Bucky, dude. This is Hermie.
Can you laugh now, huh? Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, you're wrong. They're leading after 3 quarters, but they've only won the first quarter in the last 2 games. The other team is establishing the run game and gutting them and wearing that ass out by the 4th quarter.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
All gas, no fuel management.
Oh, fuel management now. Now we're into fuel management. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, guys, I know a thing or two about driving fast cars while drinking Bud Light. This is the Piano Man.
The Piano Man.
Oh,
wow,
no.
That's right.
Oh, no. Get out of the Piano Man. Back in the day.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yes, sir.
So, how's that epiphany this week?
No epiphany's coming up
Tiffany?
Here. Epiphany.
Oh.
A Tiffany. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, we have a change order. We need to wait and delay them houses to be built for the coaches.
They're going to be here a while.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, I need everyone to relax. This is the first year with Sark. Rome was not built in one day.
Yeah, we're not even trying to build Rome at all. Not even close to it. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
A consistent run game is about persistence.
Enough.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, no! Let's go home!
All right, that's your time to shine.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that same number I thought in the beginning of the football season, E.
Well, I think 9-3 was my pick. They've already got the 3 losses, so they can't lose again if I'm right. You said 8-4.
Yep.
So, you know, they got a lot to fix.
Yes, they do.
But there's a lot to build on, but at the same time, got to finish games. You know, got to find some leadership. Got to figure out what to do to finish these football games that they're letting disintegrate in their own...
And they're not slipping away. The opposing teams are pounding them away.
Yeah, no question about that. No doubt about that. We will continue the conversation with you into the final hour. You're going to head out of here, are you not?
Yeah, I'm out of here.
All right, go get some rest, my friend. Go get some rest. We'll finish the rest of the way. Bucky's going to be back tomorrow, but appreciate you being here, bud.
No, I appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll be right back. We got some special guests coming up. We'll also take your thoughts on the game and the games that were played the weekend that was. Arizona Cardinals 6-0. Are they better than the Cowboys? A fair question. What about the Bills? They'll play tonight with a chance to make their argument who's the best and the top team in the National Football League. We'll get to all that coming back. Good, bad, and ugly on a busy Monday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.